This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's fair to say that most people know Gene Wilder as an actor, as the star of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Now, button, button, who's got the button?
Or as accountant Leo Bloom in The Producers.
Mr. Bialystock, I cannot function under these conditions. You're making me extremely nervous.
Well, Gene Wilder is also a writer, the author or co-author of the screenplays Haunted Honeymoon, The Woman in Red, and, with Mel Brooks, Young Frankenstein. He's also published a memoir, novels, and now a collection of short stories called What Is This Thing Called Love? They're all about different kinds of love. And we want to hear from you today. Tell us about a love story that you think would make a good short story. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the hour, comic actor Ben Stiller, who plays against type in his new movie, Greenberg. But first, Gene Wilder joins us from the studios of KPBS, our member station in San Diego. Great to have you with us today on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
And do you consider yourself a romantic?
Is the Pope Catholic? Well, I'm not even sure about that now. Yes, I do.
And do you think about love a lot?
Yes, I think about it almost, I don't want to sound silly, but almost all the time. But love is a lot of different roads. I'm very fortunate because I'm still in love with my wife, Karen Wilder. We've been married for 18 years, and we lived together before that for 1 year. And I think about love in all its aspects now.
And you describe many of them in this book. I was especially taken with the story of, Robert Frost and Boris Godunov.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, too. It's called The Kiss, and he got his name from the opera, Boris Godunov, but when he went through the...
Ellis Island, I guess, yeah.
Yes, Ellis Island. They thought it was too complicated, so they called it Boris Godunov, and that's why he got that name. But he was a terribly didactic. He wanted to rule the roost with his daughter and everyone else. And then he met a woman at his daughter's wedding who was, he didn't know it at the time, but who was a nun.
Hmm.
And he said, "Well, you're talking bravely. Ever been married?" And she said, "I was almost married once." "Yeah, what was his name?" And she said, "Jesus." Then he got a little nervous at that. And he said, "What was the last name?" And she said, "Christ." He said, "Oi." And she said, "Well, that was a while ago. And I quit because my mother superior was asking me to do some silly things to help people that I knew I could do better. And so I left before I took my solemn vows." And anyway, they become very friendly at that wedding. And it's just one of the stories. Everyone has a different way of going about it.
Indeed, and the parallel story of that is between Boris's daughter and Robert Frost, the son of Jack and Early Mae Frost.
Yes.
This is not a true story.
No, it's not it's a story of my imagination, and yet it's always inspired by something I've seen or read. My favorite author is Anton Chekhov, not so much for the plays, but for his short stories. And I think he was really my tutor, but I might take one sentence or one phrase from him that inspires me to write a story. On this particular one, I happened to meet someone who was a nun and who left in order to get married to someone she loved. And that set it off.
Hmm. Writing is hard work. I think people think these words flow easily.
Well, acting is hard work also. I mean, lots of things are hard work. But I think writing, for me, after I started acting at 13 years old, I like writing now much more than I do acting, only because, well, partly because the scripts that are offered are junk. I don't say all of them, but the ones that are offered to me, I say I don't want to do that. Explosives and special effects and $200 million budgets and things like that. And so I'd rather, unless something else comes along that's wonderful, I'd rather write at home with my wife, Karen, and go into my study after breakfast and write for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, come out, get a cup of tea, go back in, write a little more, come out, have a little lunch, give my wife a kiss, go back in, and maybe at 4 o'clock, 4:30, I stop writing. I say, that's enough for today. It's very comforting.
That does sound like a nice day.
Well, it is a nice day. You should see my wife. You'd think it's even nicer.
We're talking with Gene Wilder. His new book is What Is This Thing Called Love? It's 12 stories about different aspects of love, and we'd like you to join the conversation today. Tell us a story about love that you think might make a good short story. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Rick, and Rick's with us from Squantum in Massachusetts.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rick.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Admire your work. Always have.
Thank you.
I had a my first girlfriend through all junior high school and high school, and truly was the love of my life. But when I went to college, we separated and didn't hear or see from each other for almost 30 years. I was living in California at the time, and my oldest son was killed on a boating trip with a friend's family, and obviously I was devastated. And,
sure.
And heard from her, and it rekindled a long simmering relationship, and we were married last November.
Wow.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
That, and it's going well, Rick?
It's going tremendously well, and I guess, how do you ever know that the first love is the real love?
Oh, you're asking a deep question there. I mean, when you fall in love and you're very young, you think that that's the love of your life, and maybe it is, but it usually doesn't turn out that way. You find out later that this isn't the ideal marriage that I wanted. When you're falling in love, it's different because you're blind at that time.
It's
I mean, blind in your head. But I think what happened to you is wonderful because there was something there that was real and you knew it, and it took 30 years for it to come out.
You're absolutely right, and I'm very blessed and thankful for her.
Good.
Rick,
good for you.
Thanks for sharing the story. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're sure Gene Wilder's been taking notes, so it's going to be in his next book. You tell the story of people who fall in love for the first time. Indeed, it's a story in love for the first time, a story of David and Lily, who are students in Paris.
Right. I wanted to start out, well, I start out with my cousin Buddy, who was a unique character in the first story. But then I wanted to progress from people who are just learning about love and who have never had sex before. They've talked about it, they've thought about it, but they've never had it. And I wanted to work up how it might actually happen with people. In this case, I wanted it to take place by these two people who were studying music in Paris, and they met each other and how they got together and how it came about that they first found out about sex.
Mm. In a lot of the stories, it turns out to be, those are very young people, but you set the story some time ago. They're stories about people your age.
Well, sure. Yes. I'm in all of them, in a sense, but I'm in them when I was 30, when I was 40, and when I was 50. But there's something about me I know in all of the stories, but I don't like to talk about it as being me. I don't want the story to be Gene Wilder. I want it to be characters that I've come up with, invented.
Do you think?
But they're always based on people that I've met.
Do you think they're? You talk about these characters because they're more useful to the story, or because you think in some way they're more interesting than you?
Ooh, now you're getting deep.
I'm sorry.
I would say both, because they're going to help the stories. But in some regard, I think that if I just talked about me, except for one or two situations, I think the characters would be more interesting than me. You know, people say you're the funniest guy. I saw you with Richard Pryor, and I saw with Mel Brooks and Zero Mostel, and you must be some funny guy. Well, I'm not. I mean, occasionally I am. I could make my wife laugh once in a while, but I'm not that way. I'm pretty quiet and often very shy. But when I write a story, I want to break out and write something daring. And that's why I wrote these stories.
You also wrote a memoir. And I wonder, in writing a memoir, which is a story about yourself, did you find yourself becoming a character?
No, not in that one. I wanted to, you know, there's so many Hollywood people, and I'm not one of them, not from Hollywood, and I'm also not one of the people who wants to do a tell-all. And I hate tell-alls. I didn't want a tell-all. It's called Kiss Me Like a Stranger, and my search for love and art. And when I was writing it, the art part was mostly about learning how to act, because I started so early.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of teachers and a lot of experience slowly growing up. But that one, I thought, if I don't tell the truth, there's no point in my writing this book. So I tried to tell the truth as much as possible all the way through. It starts out when I was very young, and then Gilda, and then she died in 1989, and then how I met Karen, and then the movies I made, and Mel Brooks, and people I met like Madeleine Kahn and Marty Feldman and Cloris Leachman, Terry Garr, and how they affected me. I don't want to just talk about movies in the book. I just wanted to tell the truth and how I progressed, that's all.
We're talking with Gene Wilder about his new book of stories, What Is This Thing Called Love? If you have a love story that you think would make a good short story, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today we're getting advice about love, unrequited, first, late, and otherwise, from the actor, writer, and self-proclaimed romantic, Gene Wilder. He's written What Is This Thing Called Love? A collection of 12 vignettes, stories about different aspects of romance. To get a taste for what he's writing about, we've posted an excerpt about a flirt named Lolly who torments her suitor with her revealing dresses at our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. Gene Wilder, of course, is well known for his work on the big screen as well as for his writing. He starred in Young Frankenstein, Willy Wonka, and The Producers, among other films. Tell us a story about love that you think would make a good short story. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Now let's go to Mike. Mike's calling us from Cincinnati.
Yeah, I've got a great story. I went to work for Ford Motor Company just outside of Detroit and met a gentleman who turned out to know my mother from high school, where they were high school sweethearts. My mom's father was a Methodist minister, and he got moved their junior year, and they never saw each other again. And they're now married and happily retired down in Florida, where the Tigers have their spring training.
Really?
Yes, sir.
And your mom?
Yep, my mom, Sherry, married her high school sweetheart, and she hadn't seen him in years and years and years.
This is a story of people who should have stuck with the first thing.
Yes, sir. It's sort of like those little blurbs from When Harry Met Sally, when they show the couples, you know, throughout the movie. That's my mother and stepfather.
That's your mother and stepfather. And did you, by any chance, reintroduce them when you met him at the factory?
Yes, I did. You know, a few weeks into working, you know, and getting to know the people who worked with me, he brought a high school yearbook and said, "Is this your mother and aunt?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And gave him an email address, and then they finally met physically. They hit it off again.
Obviously, they did. Mike, thanks very much for that story. That's great stuff.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Wilder. I've loved your work over the years. You've brought me a lot of laughter, a lot of smiles. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
These stories are fascinating, Gene Wilder, because there are a lot of people who believe in romance.
I hope so.
Though maybe not your cousin.
Cousin Buddy was a strange case. I loved him. He was a little older than me, but he searched all his life for love, and he settled for sex. And he wanted love, but he didn't know how to go about it. And he never met the person who he could fall in love with. He kept thinking that maybe it'll happen, but it didn't happen.
And somebody who was, was he a loud person?
Buddy?
Yeah.
My cousin Buddy? No, he wasn't, actually. He was, I mean, he could be, but usually he held back. He was shy. But when he was talking with some of his friends, his men friends, mm-hmm. he was, he could be loud then. But when he met a woman, he wasn't. He'd make jokes. He could make good jokes, but that's about all. He never got romantic. He just kept thinking about sex. And then one time he told me, that Japanese girl who waited on us in the restaurant, now, that's the kind of girl I want to marry. And I said, why? He said, well, a Japanese girl wouldn't care that I'm short and that I had eczema. She'd look for the inside of me. And I said, well, good luck. I hope you find her. And one of the stories is about that.
Indeed, one of the stories is about that. Here's an email we have from Judith. When I was separated from my first husband, only for a few months, I was invited to a party at a new friend's parents' house. I was 31 and not looking at all for romance. When I walked in the door, there was this young man, my friend's 23-year-old brother, whom I had never met, who was looking at me with his goofy grin on his face. There was an immediate connection, call it love at first sight, if you will, and by the end of the evening, in which he flirted shamelessly, he told his mother that I was the one with whom he would spend the rest of his life. His mother told him I was too old and separated. He said, I don't care, she's the one. We just separated our 15th wedding anniversary, have two wonderful children, and are living happily ever after. So apparently you can see love across a crowded room and know it at first sight. Let's see if we can get another caller in on the conversation. This is Daniel. Daniel calling with us from Flagstaff.
Hi. I appreciate you having me on the show. And, Mr. Wather, I sure appreciate your work over the years.
Thanks.
My call is sort of following on that sentiment of I saw my wife across the college campus the first day of school. And I went home and I told my roommate that I saw the girl I was going to marry. And over time, we dated for a couple of years and went our separate ways and always stayed in touch. And I moved to Boston and she was in Arizona. And one day I was bartending in Boston 10 years later and a random fellow from Arizona came in, showed me his ID, and we started talking. Turned out that he knew my wife and told me that she had just gotten engaged to someone else. And needless to say, that was a bomb to drop on me. And I immediately got back in touch with her. And a couple years later, we got married.
You talked her out of it.
And my roommate from college was there to verify the story for everyone.
Wow. And yeah. So you stepped in at this was just a coincidental message, and you stepped in at the last minute and eventually saved your marriage.
Yes, and we've been married 7 years now.
Well, congratulations.
Well, what were you doing in Boston all that time while she was in Arizona?
Well, I'm a musician, and I was playing.
Tending bar.
Trying to chase down my passion with that and trying to
no,
make
but
a
you
career
could still,
out of that.
You could, but you could still keep in touch with her, couldn't you?
Yes, and we did keep in touch. We wrote letters, and we stayed in touch, but she didn't have the heart to tell me she was engaged. So I found out randomly.
I would point out that there are probably bars in Arizona that won't pay musicians anything either.
You make a good point, Neil.
Daniel, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to Barbara. Barbara with us from Medford, Oregon.
Oh, hello. I've always had a crush on Eugene. But I wanted to say that I had been camping, and I decided to hike down the river. And I got to a point where I had to cross, and the river was pretty high, and I thought, I'll be able to do it. And as I was crossing, the water swept me off my feet, and I started going down the river. And it was pretty torrential, and by the time I managed to grab a rock and kind of got up. I saw this fellow going past me on the river. I thought, what the heck is he doing? And he grabbed a hold of the rock, and I got out of the water, and he got out of the water, and she goes, well, you know, I wanted to make sure you weren't going to go down the falls. I mean, it wasn't a real big fall farther down the river, but nonetheless, we probably both got banged up. And I thought, well, this guy's pretty special. And we've been married for 38 years.
I saw that picture. Wasn't Kevin Bacon in that movie?
No.
Literally swept off your feet, Barbara.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
These are interesting stories. Pete in Jacksonville writes us an email. A young boy born in Marquay, Venezuela, fulfills his dream of escaping to America. Once in Miami, the 17-year-old gay male tastes freedom. The seemingly oppressive aunt, based on his newfound taste of freedom, he leaves to live in Boston. Once in Boston, he meets a man that later becomes the love of his life. His new life in America is full of joys and trials. After beating the odds and relentless immigration officials, he becomes a U.S. citizen, only to discover he has 2 weeks left to live from AIDS, thanks to a doctor that did not inform him of his positive status. Once again, love prevails, and the young man is living with HIV after looking death in the eyes. Now every day is lived in gratitude. Again, pretty dramatic story. And Gene Wilder, there is, I don't think, anything more dramatic in most people's lives than love. And perhaps we've been talking very optimistically about things that worked out. Obviously, a lot of the drama involves things that don't.
Oh, sure. But, you know, you always hope. It's just when you're looking for someone, you can be deceived by what you think is the woman that you want. I think. I'm not an authority on this. I like to write about what touches the heart, but I would not want to be an advisor or a therapist on this question.
We have a tweet from somebody called Philosopher Imp. A truly great love story must have an element of forlorn love. If it's not painful, it's not love.
Ooh. Well, I would say, I'm talking about my own experiences now, not the characters. I think that happened to me when I was very much in love, but there was always something, a problem, that was causing a great deal of pain. And I weathered it, and it came about because it was intended to be about. I used to say I don't believe in fate. You make your own life and then you call it fate. But more and more now, I do believe in fate.
Really?
Or else I would. Yes, I do. But you could call it something else too if you don't want to use the word fate. But it's a good word to describe. How did this happen when I was in so much pain, and look now how wonderful it is. Or it didn't work out, and I wish that it had because I loved her so. That happens too.
Sure.
A lot of times. But anyway, I do believe in fate.
Let's speak with Micah. Micah calling us from San Francisco.
Hi. Neil.
Hello.
I just want to tell you you're my favorite talk show host.
Oh, well, thank you. That's kind of you to say.
And Gene, Young Frankenstein was my favorite movie as a kid, and it continues to be to this day. It's just genius.
Mine too.
Yay!
Yeah, it is.
So I have a modern love story. I know that, you know, the internet dating thing is a little bit weird for some people to grasp, but I thought I was ready to meet someone, and I was busy a lot, and so I posted an ad on Craigslist, and I was very specific about the kind of person I wanted to meet. It kind of ended up being a little bit of an essay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got about 50 essay responses and was completely overwhelmed by the whole thing. So I ended up deleting all of my responses and then went home to Boston. And this email came trickling in, and it was like three lines. Yeah, I might be. I don't know. You seem interesting. Maybe we could meet. And we ended up talking over the phone, well, emailing for a while and talking over the phone. And by the time I got back to San Francisco, which was about 3 weeks later, we were ready to go out to dinner and meet. And we've been together for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So all of the people who put the effort into replying to your essay-like question, they got thrown to the side.
Well, I did start reading them, and then it was overwhelming. It really was. I got so many responses. It was sort of like a job interview, and I just thought, you know, wow, this is, maybe I made a mistake.
But, and your boyfriend, I take it, is not a writer.
No. But I am.
But you are.
Yeah, but he didn't reek of desperation either. I was like, well, this guy seems pretty confident. Three lines, hey. So, yeah, and he's a wonderful, and I feel like it was fate. Like, you were talking about fate before, and, I mean, what are the odds, really? 9 years? Come on. It's great, so. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to share my story.
Well, Micah, thanks for calling us to share it.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're talking today with Gene Wilder. His new book is What Is This Thing Called Love? 12 stories about, well, it's about love and its different aspects, and if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can go next to Jim. Jim with us from Tampa.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love listening to your show every day. And, Mr. Wilder, you're such a wonderful artist, and you've given us such joy over the years, and we just thank you so much. We love you and always will.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
And what is this thing called love? It's an amazing thing. And my story, I was 16 years old. A buddy of mine and I had both enlisted in the Marine Corps, and we were hanging around waiting for orders to go. And one evening, we'd driven up to a little town adjacent to ours, and we went to a little drive-in, got a soda, and there were these two girls that were working there that we just were just infatuated with. So we kind of hung around till the place closed, and we drove them home. Well, that night, this most strikingly beautiful girl I think I've ever seen in my life was my partner. And that night, I gave her a little kiss goodbye. She knew I was leaving. And I kissed her goodbye. We left. We went into the Marines. I went to Vietnam. Came home from Vietnam. And through all those years, this is almost 4 years later, that kiss just was haunting me. It was in my dreams. It was in my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I could not get this girl out of my mind all these years later. So we got back from the Marine Corps. We got out, worked a few jobs, kind of hung around. I moved back in with my mother for a while. And I went outside the house one morning, and I looked next door, and this girl was my next-door neighbor. Well, fast forward, 40 years later, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary last June. So what is this thing called love? I think it finds a way no matter where we are, no matter what we do. If it's supposed to be, it's going to happen.
And I guess after that, you too would be a believer in fate or kismet or whatever you want to call it.
I don't care what you call it. It's wonderful.
Well, Jim, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thanks very much for the phone call.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking it. Have a good day, gentlemen.
And Gene Wilder, I think I would speak on behalf of many people in the audience if I would recommend that you spend a little more time searching those scripts, because we'd like to see you on the screen again.
Well, it was very kind of you. Thank you. If you could get me a really good script, then I might change my mind.
Everybody that I've ever met in Los Angeles always seems to be working on one. There's got to be a good one out there somewhere.
Everyone is working on one, and every restaurant you go to, they're either writers or want to be directors or something like that. I live in a small town in Connecticut, and they don't write scripts there, but I get them anyway because my agent is in Los Angeles. But, you know, when you the films I did with Mel Brooks, $3.5 million, $4.2 million, $5 million. I'm talking about Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein. The producers was $947,000 budget.
Yeah, I was going to say $1.98. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But today they're not. The studios don't seem to be interested in how good is the movie going to be, but how much money will it make, and what do we have to do to get that money? And so they go up to $200 million budgets, and 3D. And special effects and all that. I'm not saying that in itself is terrible. It's just terrible that the studios are concentrating on that kind of stuff. And if you want a really good film, it's usually going to cost $15 million, $17 million. Not a blockbuster. They're not looking for blockbusters. They're looking to create something artistic. And those are usually the films I like the most. Not all. There are some good ones, otherwise, that have a bigger budget, but not all.
Well, we miss you, but we'll look forward to your next book.
Thank you. You want to know the title?
Sure.
Humoresque.
Humoresque, that's a nice piece of music.
Yeah, it is. That's Dvorak.
It is.
Yes.
And is
But it's a novella, but that won't come out for another year. I just finished the fifth draft.
How many will there be before you think you're going to be?
I hope five.
Congratulations on finishing it.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your new book. Wish you the best of luck with it. Gene Wilder's book is called What Is This Thing Called Love? And he joins us today on Not From Connecticut, but from the studios of our member station in San Diego, KPBS. Coming up, a conversation with comic actor Ben Stiller, who plays against type in his new movie, Greenberg, at the tale of a 40-something musician turned carpenter just released from a psychiatric hospital who's trying to find something in his life and moves to Los Angeles to look for it. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.